Today we're joined by Kim Goodpasture, a chemistry teacher at Livingston Academy, to explore how great educators make science come alive for their students. Chemistry can seem intimidating at first, but with the right teacher, it becomes a subject built on curiosity, discovery, and real-world connections. We'll talk about Kim's approach to teaching, how she helps students develop confidence in the classroom, and why inspiring the next generation of scientists begins with making learning meaningful. Welcome.
Thank you.
Does sound great. I love introducing people. It just sounds so official.
Yes.
and I love starting that way. So we'll jump in. We'll just stray out of the gate.
Okay.
And we'll start with you. So I want to hear a little bit about you.
Okay.
How you end up teaching chemistry?
How did I get to chemistry?
How did you get there?
It wasn't my original plan.
Okay.
My degree is in biology from Tennessee Tech with a concentration in micro.
Okay.
And right after graduation, I applied and was accepted into Vanderbilt's Allied Health Program. So
okay.
I'm literally a clinical laboratory scientist.
Okay.
I spent almost 10 years at Couville Regional Medical Center as a microbiologist and decided when I had kids, I think I'll just stay home with them. And there was a leave of absence that opened after being at home a couple of years in the chemistry department at Livingston Academy. And I've been there ever since. They took a chance on me and they've let me stay, and it has been so much fun.
Okay. Well, that's a, we have so many, because there's usually two camps. It's usually I've been teaching my stuffed animals since I was four.
Yeah.
And I'm teaching or jumping in from another degree field or another profession.
Yeah.
Did that thought ever cross your mind while you were working at the hospital? Like, I could probably teach, or were,
I think I played with it a little bit, but then I knew I'd have to go back to school and get my teaching license. And I just kind of put it in the back of my head. And then when the leave opened up and I got to actually kind of teach for a year, this is it. This is where I'm meant to be.
Mm-hmm. What does day-to-day, so just let's take a little side trail,
yeah,
for a biology major, microbiology, what does a day-to-day look like in a hospital working?
For the Allied Health Program, for a clinical laboratory scientist, you're licensed to do all laboratory testing, from
okay.
forensics. You could work at the state lab. But if you're in the hospital lab, you're usually running those blood tests, CBCs, you're running chemistries, you are typing and cross-matching blood. And I was fortunate enough to work in the micro department where we tried to figure out what infection patients had and the antibiotics that would work against those infections.
Okay.
So we had every day was a puzzle. It was you never knew what you were going to come into.
Mm-hmm. Anything we have so many shows, the CSI shows.
Yes.
Any of that realistic?
I have never seen a lab that looked like that. That would be unusual.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, with all of the gadgets
and the
TV screens.
Yeah.
Yes.
That would be amazing to work in, though.
Yeah, yeah, all the fancy
yeah.
stuff. So, well, okay, so you were there for several years, and I imagine, so I'm already fast-forwarding to your time in the classroom,
yeah,
all of those hands-on applications, those things that you did, taking that to the students.
Real world, when am I going to use this? Where will we ever see this again? And I think that does help the students. A lot of times they come into chemistry and they're either, I don't want to do this, this is hard, or I will never use this anywhere in life. And you can literally show them, it doesn't matter what you major in, you will use chemistry. You may not think it's chemistry, but chemistry's everyday life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then let's back up just a little bit.
Okay.
So before you got into, how did you know about biology and biochem and those areas in the first place?
I had the best science teacher in high school. And before I'd even had biology, I was more of, I think I like English. I think I will do this in college. And we had the best biology teacher, Mr. Pat Grimes.
Okay.
He was phenomenal. I don't remember really a single point at which either a lesson. It was just the way he came into the classroom and he just made everything brighter. He made everything so much fun, and that's where it started.
Clicked with him.
Yes.
Yeah. Are there things that you find yourself doing similar to him, or was he just kind of that inspiration?
He was just inspirational. He cared about your grades. He wanted you to be as passionate about biology as he was. He just made it come alive. And those are the teachers, not their lessons, but the teachers that I remember in high school, and I hope maybe someday to do a little part of that.
Well, I've already heard feedback that you do.
I've had some pretty great students
on the way in the building. I will say. So was this? So you were in high school? Was that in Livingston?
Yes. Okay. I went to Livingston Academy. Okay. Graduated from Livingston Academy in 1994, and I think I know he's inspired so many people. But that's just kind of where biology. This sounds fun. I think I could do this. This seems like it would be a great field to be in.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen any of your students go on that you recall into fields that you're like, oh, I felt like I had played a role in that?
We've had so many students go into pharmacy school, medical school. We've had some that have become pilots, like every field. And I just hope, even if I just said, you can do this, no matter what you set your mind to, you can do it. I hope that helped. Yeah.
Along the way, yeah. to keep them moving, yeah. for sure. So, okay, so you ended up at Livingston Academy just because there was a leave there. Had you shopped around, or you're just like, oh, there's a leave.
It's it just kind of fell into place, and yeah. Of course, I live in Overton County, and that was 5 or 10 minutes from home, my alma mater. Mm-hmm. So, I never really thought about teaching anywhere else.
Okay, yeah. And I say that because the demand for a chemistry teacher, a biology teacher, but chemistry especially. I mean, that's just the schools call us. It's when the schools are desperate today, and for years it's been math, chemistry, special education.
Yeah, and it's just home. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know that I would think about teaching anywhere else, but it's just been home for me. Everybody has been really good.
Yeah, were there teachers when you started teaching? Were there still teachers who were there when you graduated?
Yes.
Okay. How did that play out?
They've been really good mentors. One of our, she's not a science teacher, but one of the teachers that her first year teaching when I graduated, Miss Julie Miller, is in my hallway, and she's been a wonderful mentor. So it's kind of come full circle. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I know Miss Miller.
Yeah.
Also. Okay. So what do you enjoy most about teaching high school students? Because I imagine you could have moved to middle school with your credentials. You could kind of be in most places. What is that hook that keeps you coming back?
I just love talking to them. They're old enough that they can take some ownership of some things, and you don't really have to be like, here, we're going to try this today. They're very honest if they like something, if they don't like something. But they're willing to try things out with you. Like, hey, guys, I've never done this lab before. I've got an activity. Let's see how it is. Maybe we like it. Maybe we don't. If we don't, we won't do it again. But you all can give me. And they love to give feedback. So it's just like, it's awesome. They will critique for you. They will try for you. Hey, I don't like this. Or let's not do it this way. They've just been a really good, really good fit for me.
Do you find them coming in with the TikTok generation? Do you find them coming in saying, I saw this thing on TikTok and we have got to try this in chemistry class?
Yes. And they, when they have ownership of it or there's something that we can do and try, that lifts some of the heaviness of it. Like, oh, we're not just going to work problems or do a worksheet today, or this is not just going to be another math class. Yeah, it really helps. And they've just been great with everything.
Anything that they've almost talked you into, but it was like, that might be a little too much chemical reaction, or
they want to, they're wanting to do, can we blow something up? That's the most common thing I get every day. Can we just blow something up? And I'm like, no, I love my job. Uh-huh. We can't just do that.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Yeah. In high school students.
And I get it.
Yeah.
But we've had some cool projects.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. Yeah. You have to temper. High school.
Yeah. Worry about a little bit about, you know, lab fires and stuff like that. So probably not going to do that.
Yeah. But, pick and choose. Yeah. And it has changed so much with science and social media, because I'm a guy. I've always loved science. I've gravitated towards, you know, I'll start watching videos.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that is so interesting and fun. And I want to know how it works. And if I had access to that in high school, I would have talked. We would have spent a lot of time trying to convince our chemistry teacher.
Let's do this.
You know, here's a great thing I saw to do along the way. I just think that's part of the high school when you catch those inquisitive kids.
How
you
it
know,
works and mm-hmm, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And explaining that process has got to be a big deal. So to me, obviously, that's really the hook with some kind of discrepant event or some kind of event like that.
Yeah.
The hook is to get their attention and then get into the chemistry.
Into the chemistry part of it. So that it's fun, but here's why we're doing this. And this is how it applies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Along the way, for sure. So when students first walk into your classroom, what do you hope they experience?
I hope if they are on the fence about loving science, that we can kind of convert them over to it. I know chemistry is a graduation requirement, so they don't really have a choice to take it. It's either chemistry or physics. But I hope when they leave, they're like, I can do this. I would love to research a field in chemistry, biology, any of the sciences, and look forward to doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That's my goal.
Okay. Do you all offer physics?
We do not have a certified teacher
I was going to say, most schools don't.
No.
Very few schools.
So most of them are definitely having to have chemistry to move on, but I hope they love it. And if they don't love it, at least it was manageable and they can apply it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's in so many ways. Yeah. I have been my 13th year as department chair.
Okay.
And awesome. I haven't had a single physics major, not one intentional major. So there's a funny story there.
And I feel like our engineering students, our pre-engineering students, need the physics part
mm-hmm,
of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess physical science is just a little bit of that before they get to college, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. Well, let's take a short break and come back and get to a few more questions along the list.
Thank you.
Thanks. Welcome back. Talking with Miss Kim Goodpasture, chemistry teacher at Livingston Academy. So we were just talking about the physics as an option and how I hadn't had any of those majors. Have you considered taking the physics exam? It's infamously hard.
It is. And you're not allowed. It's like the chemistry praxis. You're not allowed to use a calculator. It's a time test with no calculator. So
wow.
I'm thinking I'm going to leave that to a younger teacher.
Yes, somebody else. Leave that one for somebody else. Yeah, it is a hats off to the handful
Absolutely.
Of people. We do have a handful of people who have taken it and passed it over the years who are current teachers, but nobody's jumped into that one, like I said, and came through with their major. So so we talked a little bit about it, but one of my questions is when students hear the word chemistry, they can become nervous or hesitant. So how do you put them at ease? We touched on that a little bit, but you know, for listeners or for people with I have a high school. My youngest daughter's a junior. How do you ease the minds of the parents and the kids coming in that they're going to be able to handle it?
Well, we talk a lot in the first week or so about organization and routines and how to keep your notebook. And usually, and I'll tell the students this, I'll usually go over something 3 or 4 times. We'll play a game with it. You're not going to be left like, we're not going to just leave you behind if you don't understand something. Sig figs are a huge problem in chemistry. How to round numbers, how to turn in answers for any of your problems. But we practice things so much. I feel like after they've been in class for 3 or 4 weeks, they know the routine that we're going to do. We keep that same routine all year. And they're like, okay, I know how this is going to go. I feel better about it. So we really hammer in on the fundamentals. You've got to know how to do your math. You've got to know how to round your answers. And then the concepts usually fall into place after they have that concrete foundation of, I know what she's expecting. She's not going to leave us behind, and she's going to help us if we need it.
Mm-hmm. And the chemistry classes at Tech and most universities, I mean, they're pretty infamous for being difficult.
They're the weed out
class.
You
know, They can be. They can be.
And so, and that's what I've told them. I don't want them to apply to any university, be in a freshman level chemistry class and say, she didn't prepare us. So we really like our graduates that have had classes to come back and say, hey, this may not be in your high school standards, but we covered this in one or two of my class, my freshman class chemistry classes. Do you care to hit this? Because I didn't know how to do it. And I have a really good teaching partner. So we sometimes pull those things in. Hey, this person just told me this is really important. If you're going to go pre-med, pre-pharmacy, you're going to have these classes. So we're going to include this in our class too. So we really want those kids to be successful at the next level.
Mm-hmm. And it is difficult. I mean, it's
very difficult.
Especially if they don't have the choice when they move into that university setting.
Yeah.
Backing up just a second, though, what about the students? And we talked a little bit about this, but what about the students who come to you and say, I'm going to TCAT. I don't really think what you're teaching me is important, because I know high school kids,
and they
will say things like that.
Every day.
As adults looking back, we know what's important, and we know how you're going to use things. How do you really get them on board?
I tell my cosmetology students, you're going to have to be able to do dilutions to make your hair color. Like, you're going to be using chemistry. Probably not talking about electrons. We're probably not doing the periodic table, but the chemistry part of dilutions, you're going to have to know how to do. You're going to have to know how to do conversions. So welding, there's still some chemistry involved in that. And while maybe you won't use everything in the course, it is kind of good to push yourself with harder things, harder topics, more abstract thought processes, because critical thinking is important in any profession.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that helps them build those skills and the confidence to approach those kind of fields with that.
Mm-hmm. To me, because I'm a tinker, and so doing welding, the trades in general really do involve a lot of science.
Yes.
I mean, you can argue about it all day, but understanding the difference between a welder, different types of welders,
yes,
and electricity. I mean, all those things, because you can't see them.
No.
I mean, you can't see what's happening. So you kind of need to understand it, because it can be a life or death situation.
Right. And even nursing and pharmacy at TCAT, they have to be able to dose patients. So the chemistry, the dimensional analysis, the conversions for those things, super important. That's a daily task or skill they're going to need. So I feel like chemistry is in everyday life for everybody, just mm-hmm. in different forms for some things.
Mm-hmm.
We don't always call it that, and they won't always be doing, I don't know, looking at the periodic table, but they'll always be using something that we've done in class, mm-hmm. I feel like.
Yeah, even if they're not doing super long equations,
electron
the heavy
configurations
work,
or any of that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, on the back end. Can you share a memorable moment when you saw a student suddenly understand a difficult concept?
There's been several over the year. Stoichiometry is pretty, it sounds pretty hard, but it's where we do a lot of our math calculations. And I've just had kids like, I can't do this. There's too many steps. And I'm like, no, we're just going to break it down. We're going to take it in pieces. And when they finally get it, they're like, this is not hard. And I'm like, I know. It's just something new that you've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really can't look at how many atoms are in a mole. You just kind of have that number. But once they figure it out, they're like, "This, I got this." And so that, to me, is the best part of teaching, when you're like, I've kind of made a difference. They know how to do something now that they didn't know how to do, and they thought it was hard, but we worked through it. So I think that helps.
Yeah.
When they finally, they realize that we're there for them, to help them, and I think that's what teaching's all about.
Yeah, and work through those real life skills. I mean, because so much of it, even in college, a lot of it is, it's as much about perseverance.
Grit.
As it is anything else.
Yes.
I mean, the knowledge is there, and there are things that you'll learn, but just
you have to
learning
do
to get
yeah.
through things.
And I think some of them, when they get to me, they're like, I'm a straight A student. I've never made anything below 95 or a 90. But I'm like, the point is to get through it. And their grades are usually still really high. But the challenge is there, and I don't think sometimes maybe they've had a challenge like that before, and when they finish, they're like, I can do this. And so that's kind of, it's kind of been the bright spot for me.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever lean on the math teachers and say, this is something that we're working on, and y'all are really going to have to help me?
And we are, and we do have those PLCs, but we'll just walk out in the hallway and we'll be like, rounding numbers, or, you know, just multiplication with scientific notation, like, what can I do to make this easier? And they're really good to help out with that using a calculator. You would think, I guess, maybe that was common knowledge, but sometimes I'm like, I need to tell them how to do this. What do you suggest? So, yeah, we have a really good group.
Mm-hmm. And that helps just across the board.
Tremendously.
Yeah. For that to make sense. If you're working together, because I feel like there's so many times when the collaboration is what makes it successful.
Yes. And the students can see that too. And when they see that we're working together, I think they understand this is what we need to be doing. This is for us. They are trying to help us to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a short break and we'll come back and wrap up the last segment.
All right.
Welcome back. Talking with Miss Kim Goodpasture from Livingston Academy, chemistry teacher, trying to talk her into being a physics teacher and all the other things as well. All right. So one of the things that as an adult makes me nervous is the lab setting. So how do you get to where you can have students in the lab with fire and chemicals and right. What is that? Where do you even start with that?
Well, I'll tell you what we kind of do the first week. We have, and University of Tennessee was generous enough to donate Biology in a Box. That was a series of just different exercises that the biology department has. And there was one experiment in that box that I thought, I can use this year after year to start students thinking about lab. And it's called the black box experiment. But you give them a box, and they have to determine... They can't open the box. They have to determine what's inside it. And in the room, there's a scale. You have just magnets, things like that. And you try to get them to start this scientific process of what do I need to do? And it gets them thinking. They wander around the room. They use the scale. They have to start this process of I have to figure this out. She's not going to tell me anything. What can I rely on? My observation skills. And so once we start that with them, then we start going in the lab once a week, and there'll be all of the lab equipment. We will talk about it. We will tell them how to be safe with it. Hot plates, those make me nervous. But they're usually so excited that they are really careful and they want to do something every week. So if we can keep them interested in it and they can do things safely, I usually don't have a problem. They're excited to be in there. When are we going again? But we do go through a safety unit. We do have them take a safety test, and we talk about things that, you know, if you were to break something or if you were to get cut, you need to let me know. You're not going to get in trouble, but we need to make sure that everybody's okay. So the high school students have been really good for the last, I guess this is my 16th year, that they, if they want to go in there, they do exactly what we ask them to.
So approaching it kind of as a privilege, keeping it more as a privilege is probably, it's good leverage.
Yes. Like we want to do these things, but we have to be safe about it so that you all don't get hurt or hurt one of your classmates, but they love to be in the lab.
Yeah, that's fun. Labs are expensive. Equipment is expensive.
Very.
What does that look like for you?
So our hot plates can run upwards of $200 or more. Our safety scales, not safety scales, but our scales, those are upwards of $200 to $300 to $400, depending on how many places, you know, they measure. So we just tell them this is really nice equipment, but we've got to be really careful with it. And we go over the proper ways to use it, how to turn it off. There's something broken, just raise your hand and let us know. And they're good. They're good about it. Yeah.
What if you want something new?
So
it's out of your budget. Have you? So how do you get outside of the box on that?
I just filled out a grant application that had been sent in our email. So we do look for extra things. But our central office has been really good to have a little bit of a side budget for us if we need supplies. And they've been supplied for us each year. So they've been really good to us.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's fun. Because I know that it's always a question. And I know teachers are always spending money out of their own pocket, you know, to because there's just something that's just engaging and great. And
sometimes if it is like that, I do that. But our central office has asked us most every year, what do you need? Like, what is the main thing? And if it's the scales that need to be replaced or if we need glassware, they have been so good to us to do that for us. So we are fortunate.
Yeah. No, that's fun. That's fun. Okay. So how do you take something, this is maybe a tough question, that's invisible, like atoms, molecules, chemical reactions, and make it understandable for students? Because so much of it is kind of like physics. So much of it is conceptual or theoretical. How do you make that real?
With the atoms, sometimes we try to make models. You know, we go over the theory part of it, and you can still, you know, the glazed look on their eye like I don't understand. And then we'll build models of them. Chemical reactions, we usually let them run them to see law of conservation of mass. You've still got everything that you started with. But a lot of hands-on models, videos, sometimes we'll pull videos into it. And it's all still theoretical to them until they've seen something that they can attach that knowledge to. But we try to build a lot of models and do a lot of just chemical reactions on our own. Yeah.
Have you found any simulations?
Like FET simulations are really good. Yeah.
It's been good for a long time.
Yes. I love FET. Mm-hmm. And there are several units that we will use our FET simulations with.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to get that interactive piece and
play around with it and let them see what happens. Gas laws is a really good FET simulation. We use that one every year.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's fun to make it. I know at Tech we've ventured into some new areas with chemistry. There is now a cooking with chemistry class that's started. And do you branch into those things or have you thought about ways to kind of bring in as many of those real world things? Do you have time? I guess there's several questions there.
We try for each unit to have something in it. And this isn't really cooking, but like when we go over solutions, we let them make ices or slushies so they can pull some of those principles in. I do a thermo lab where we burn food. But that's a really good idea, and I would like to look further into that, just some more common everyday, I didn't think this was chemistry, but this really is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So many good options. The hard part is making the time and the application and still covering all the content.
You're like, I've only got this many days. But when you get on a unit and they've got something that is really good like that, I like to draw them out. That'd be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'd be fun because, there are so many things when you get to certain boiling points with certain materials. And I mean, so much of it is applicable. I feel like a good cook has that knowledge, you know, whether they apply it, you know, directly to chemistry or not. So chemistry doesn't stay inside the lab. It influences healthcare, manufacturing, ag, environmental science, and other careers. What other careers, and again, we talked a little bit about this, surprise students when they learn that chemistry plays such an important role? How do you get into, we talked a little bit about the TCAD, a community college, university pathway, but for those students who want to just work on their family farm, how do you get into those? Because I know you have to have those conversations.
We do. And agriculture is huge. I don't really think they think about how much chemistry is into that. And then we have a really good textbook that we've just purchased, National Geographic, that has some extra articles, extra information. And sometimes we'll actually ask these students, okay, this is what you want to do. I need you to research this and bring me in some, like, how can I relate this to your field? And I think they're surprised too. Oh my gosh, we're doing this in class. I didn't think I would do this later on in life. So just a little bit of research and
flip it back on them.
Yeah, like,
I mean, yeah. Because it does. It's just, to me, it's so applicable. But you know, sometimes it is hard
for the young minds to make that jump.
Yes, yeah. Yes, for sure. What about AI? Have you gotten into AI at all?
So, no.
Okay.
And I feel like the more comfortable I become with it, maybe I can branch out for that. But for right now, we haven't really experimented with it. I think our policy for our district is Microsoft AI is the only AI that they're allowed to use. But for right now, I'm not sure that they're ready for there may be some wrong answers there. Just because I pull it up, that doesn't mean it's been vetted, and I'm not sure that they know how to do that specifically yet. So we're still in the stages of learning about that.
Yeah. And it is fine. I mean, what we have seen is that people are either, they're like, okay, we're going to go all in and we're going to figure out how to use it, or we're just not going to use it at all. Because like with calculations and things, it's so tempting for students to just say, oh, just do it for me.
I think it has its place. I think if you're struggling and maybe your teacher's not there, you're at home at night and you're like, I don't remember how to do this. I think it has its places of teaching. But as for just turning them loose yet, I don't feel comfortable just yet with it. So I think we've said maybe not right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. Have you all, I know everybody's got their phone policies now.
Yes.
Have you observed a difference specifically in chemistry class?
Yes, I have. They were really good for me. Even before the district policy was put in place, I would just ask them to put them on the wall because I'm like, I can't help you if you're on your phone. And they would. They put them up. And I didn't have a problem with them last year either. And they're so much more engaged, asking questions. And not just to me, but they're actually talking to their classmates. Like, they are present. And I think it's made a huge difference. I really do.
Is Overton County, is the policy
zero
phones?
They can have them in their backpacks.
Okay.
But they're not allowed to use them.
Yeah.
We have classroom phones, and then they're more than welcome to go to the office if they need to. But
okay.
Overall, they rose to the occasion. They've done great.
Yes, yeah. We've observed, and we talked with lots of people who have been here chatting about the high school students, and then even my daughter and other high school students have talked about how nice it is to just sit and talk at lunch, you know, without everybody being completely plugged in. It's like going back to when you and I were in school.
Yes.
Quite a few years ago.
And they look happier.
Mm-hmm.
I think they look they look like they're enjoying it too.
Mm-hmm. Which makes it better for learning.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, we have hit the end of our time. I told you it would go quick. Yeah. But I appreciate you coming down, and it's been fun to talk to you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Appreciate it.